Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Open up the heavens. We want to see you. Well, I got a couple stories to tell you today. So, when I was young, they had these commercials on TV. This was before I could shave, okay? So, you don't guess how long ago that was. But, so, there was this commercial on TV that was an men's aftershave lotion, okay? And I remember the commercial, but I couldn't tell you what the product was, which after, there was a debate after the 8 o'clock service. Was it Aquavelva or was it Menin? So you can debate that later or tell me which one it was if you remember it. Okay, this commercial went like this. This guy gets up in the morning and he goes into the bathroom and there's that mirror, the ever-present morning mirror, you know, all commercials have it seems like. And he shaves and then he splashes on some aftershave. Like that, right? And his eyes like bug out, right? And he's like, whoa! And what does he say? He says, thanks, I needed that. So, I don't know. So when I was a kid in, you know, elementary school, we would do that. We'd go in the morning and go, thanks, I needed that, you know? And we'd do it to each other. And we didn't say, thanks, I needed that. But okay, so I can't remember what that was. But it was like this waker-upper. Okay, this waker-upper moment. That's what Isaiah experiences here. Okay? The sermon today is about the Isaiah text. Isaiah is living in Judah, the kingdom of Judah. And our text says, in the year that King Uzziah died, Uzziah was a king of Judah who reigned for 52 years. You think, you know, we have a president 8 years, that's plenty. 52 years. He started when he was 16. Reigned for 52 years. Then at one point, if you want to read about it in 2 Chronicles, he goes into the temple himself as king and wants to burn the incense, which only the priests are supposed to burn. So he comes out and he's got leprosy on his face. And he lives in a separate house the rest of his life. Okay, that's not part of... Well, I guess it is now part of the sermon, but that's not the point. In the year that King Uzziah died. So Isaiah is going about his life as a regular guy. He might be... He's a priest, so that's, I guess it's not exactly regular. And he's got a couple of sons. You can read all about him in 2 Chronicles. Well... He has this vision. He has this waker-upper moment, you know, and it's not aftershave, okay? But his eyes got big when he saw this vision, and you heard about it as Wendy read it earlier. He has this vision of God in the temple. Not really in the temple, in fact, because in the days of King Uzziah, just to give you some background, Judah was this big, powerful country. Well, not big, but powerful. I mean, King Uzziah had, according to the Bible, 307,500 fighting men. Men of valor. They used to call them men of valor. Big, powerful country. Prosperous. Prosperous country. But nobody listened to the Lord anymore. You see, they had God sort of where they wanted him. They had him in a box. He was just there in the temple. The righteousness of Judah contains the Lord, and he's in our temple, in the temple that we built under King Solomon. That was their attitude. And they were getting rich and prosperous. But the kingdom was decaying from within. Sound familiar? Well, those were the days. Isaiah goes into the temple, and he sees a vision of God, and God is not contained by the righteousness of Judah in the temple. In fact, when he's talking about the robe, I'm not wearing a robe for this service, but have you ever seen like Hasidic Jews with the robe and they have like tassels on the bottom, little tassels like that? That's what he's talking about, the hem of the Lord's robe. He's saying those little tassels at the hem of his robe, that's what filled the biggest building in the whole country, the temple. Okay? So you can imagine how big this throne was that Isaiah saw. Huge! Okay? And there's angels, seraphs, you don't say seraphs, it's seraphim, okay, flying around, around God saying, holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, Lord God of armies, you all-powerful Lord. It's this huge vision, okay? This is Isaiah's waker-upper moment. And what is Isaiah's reaction? It's not open up the heavens, because the heavens are like opened. He's seeing God on his throne, or a vision of him. His reaction is, okay, I remember what the greatest prophet of all time, Moses, said or heard from God, you can't see me. Anyone who sees me will die. So Isaiah thinks, this is it for me. Woe is me, he says. I'm going to die. Why? Woe for me? Because I am a man of unclean lips. And I live amongst the people of unclean lips. What does that mean? We don't honor God. We don't listen to him. We don't want his will for our lives. We want him in that box that we've created. We want him in that box created by our righteousness. And we'll take him out when we want for a little prayer or something and put him back. I will tell you that many times before a sermon, I pray to the Lord, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. And my prayer doesn't usually say, and I live amongst the people of unclean lips, but you can fill that part in. But who am I? We were talking with the confirmation kids the other day about why does the pastor wear a black shirt? And they correctly said, it reminds us of death and sin. What about this? Why is there this little white piece right over my throat? Because my job is to speak the word of God to you. That's what's white. The word of God of truth and grace and mercy and peace in this black world that we live in. So story number, I don't know, what am I on, two or three? Story number two. So when I was just about to graduate from seminary a few years ago, on call day, the day you all called me here, I was looking at the calls of the prophets. I looked up this passage from Isaiah 6. I looked up the Samuel passage that you guys were quoting from, the first hymn. And I said, Lord, here I am, send me. I don't know where I'm going. And when they said Clarence, New York, I think Laura was looking up, where in the world is Clarence? Where are we going, Dad? She knew before I did, I think. Exactly. But here I am. The Lord sent me here to give this word of truth to you. And my job is to try to speak God's truth to you. And I'm not as good at it as Isaiah was, okay? He had a tough job. He had to talk to the whole nation. He had to talk to kings and say, look, you're not on the right path here. And he had to bring a word of destruction. Your country is going to be destroyed in my lifetime, he had to say. God's wrath is upon you because you are dirty, rotten sinners just like me. And he has 66 chapters of telling people that, telling countries that. But part of what he has to say, what Isaiah has to say, points to Jesus. Sometimes Isaiah is called the fifth gospel because he's so clear and specific about the Messiah who is to come. That's what this word of truth is about. A word of forgiveness. So as the angel comes and touches Isaiah's lips with burning coal from the altar, just a piece of ordinary wood that's been touched with divine fire, the angel says, as he touches his lips, and you got to wonder if it burned. I don't know. Your sins are atoned for. You are forgiven. And that's Isaiah's real waker-upper moment. That's where he could say, thanks, I needed that. And that, brothers and sisters in Christ, where the angel touches Isaiah's lips with a burning coal and says, your sins are atoned for. That word of forgiveness. When Isaiah is in fear for his life at the awesome power of God, that moment is what equips Isaiah to fulfill his call and his calling for the rest of his life. Because he understood what it is, what a relief it is to be forgiven by God. To know that God has atoned for your sins, and he's going to do it for Isaiah through the Messiah, through the one that we know as Jesus. So that we can see God and stand before God. As Moses couldn't, as Isaiah couldn't, except by the help of God. That's Isaiah's story. He did a pretty good job. Today is Trinity Sunday. We think about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We've got, well, that's how we represent the Father, the finger of creation. I don't know if you can see it maybe on this side. We've got the Son represented here by the Lamb of God, triumphant Lamb of God. And then the Holy Spirit represented by a dove. But we don't see the Father. You see a hand there, the hand of God. We don't see the Holy Spirit. You know, we represent him with a dove or maybe with some flames. But how do you see a spirit? We see God through the person of Jesus Christ, who comes to atone for our sins, to give us a word of forgiveness that we can go and share with others. That's my calling. It's our calling to share a word of forgiveness and relief for those who know that they're dirty, rotten sinners just like me. That word of relief. Just a word of thanks, I needed that. So today, our Lord Jesus Christ comes to you and touches your lips with his body and his blood in Holy Communion. making not just your lips, but all of you, redeemed and atoned for and forgiven. If that's not a waker-upper, I don't know what is. God be with you this day. Amen.